Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Thank you so much to Rick Neuheisel for joining us in the previous episode. And if you're just listening to this and it's the first bit of action that you've gotten from the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, make sure that you go back and listen to that. Fantastic takes from the coach. But we recorded that Sunday morning. And Barton Simmons, Sunday night, boy.
Oh, man.
35-point UCLA comeback. Didn't quite get that cover, but goodness gracious. All right, we will get into that, what it means for Texas A&M, what it means for Kevin Sumlin, what we thought about Josh Rosen. And Virginia Tech, West Virginia was an awesome game.
Yeah. I was sitting there just locked in to the Virginia Tech, West Virginia game, wasn't on Twitter, because I had just given up on the UCLA game, because why not?
Yeah.
And then I started getting text messages explicit text messages like, are you watching this? And I'm like, no. And I turn it over and see Josh Rosen driving for a go-ahead touchdown. So I was like, the other game was a great game. And then right. I had to just totally just abandon that one, leave it to the DVR and settle in for that UCLA game and then go back and rewatch the whole second half. But That was awesome. That was an awesome night of football there.
Yeah, because West Virginia, Virginia Tech was two evenly matched teams, two well-coached teams, particularly on the offensive end. Man, were
two totally different games. Yeah. Like, one was like a well-coached, good game. The other one was just like, who sucks worse? And like, it was,
We were on opposite ends of the spectrum. But all right, so our task for today, we're gonna unload all of our takes in a segment that we're taking it to the kitchen, Barton. We're gonna get into the kitchen, we're gonna cook, and we're gonna pull these takes out of the oven, and we're gonna judge them together. We're gonna say, are they too hot or are they just right? So are you ready to take it to the kitchen?
Take it to the kitchen. Gonna get you hot. I'm gonna make it wet. Burn the flag. Burn the flag.
Make it cooler. Good God. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. All right. You want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. All right. I'll start with this one. How about this? South Carolina is a SEC East champion contender based on their win against North Carolina State.
I think that's just right. And I think I was too impressed by two things. Number one, the Rico Dowdle, Debo Samuel, weapons that I feel like you mentioned their names in July. Like I think that they are going to be more effective on offense than a lot of people think. It's not just going to be Jake Bentley, and Jake Bentley proved to be a baller. Defensively, I kind of thought that they did an all right job against the Wolfpack. I like it. I absolutely like it. I don't think that they're going to win it at 7-1. But I think they can, be a contender, probably finishing like 5-3.
Yeah, I think it's just right too. I think that it's partially like a the old SEC East had a showing over the weekend with the Tennessee coming tonight as we're recording on Monday morning. But I mean, Florida is it's very clear now that South Carolina can beat Florida, to me, based on what we saw out of Florida. Now, it doesn't mean they'll be favored in the game, but they can beat Florida. Georgia, particularly depending on, we're still learning whether or not Jacob Eason's out for the year, how serious that injury is. Georgia didn't blow the doors off of App State. I think South Carolina, because of how good they are offensively with that personnel, all of a sudden, you know, I picked them to go second in the East as a little bit of a projection, like, you know, fingers crossed type of pick. I'm now, all after seeing that, after them beat a good NC State team, I think that they're, I would expect them to finish second, and I think that they can really contend for first. So, I think that they were impressive this weekend.
When this isn't a take, this is more of a question about that game. NC State offensively didn't seem to have a whole lot of success running the ball at all. Is that an NC State problem, or is that a good sign for South Carolina's defense, a group that we haven't really thought highly of probably in 4 years?
Right. I think it's a good sign for South Carolina, and I think while we haven't thought super highly of South Carolina's defense of late, I mean, this is Will Muschamp's territory. Like, if they got the offense squared away, I got to expect Will Muschamp will get that defense playing competitive football. That's what Will Muschamp takes care of. That's what he's got a track record of doing. And I think that was a flash of that over the weekend. I think they'll continue to get better there.
Like those are big boys that were getting penetration against an NC State offensive line I thought pretty highly of. And
I noticed that too. Like the defensive line specifically looked better. They looked like they had some players up there.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that is just right. And I've got another SEC East take that I want to pull out that might be a little bit spicier. I had to bring the spice out of the oven. But first, I want to go back to last night. I think Kevin Sumlin needs to go 6-2 in SEC play to keep his job and be coaching the Aggies in 2018.
Let me pull up their schedule. I think that's definitely true. I think Kevin Sumlin's gone.
Wow. This is you're going full Facebook Board of Regents.
Yeah, did you see the Regent Facebooking?
Yes.
It's the way that game went down. It was like we joked about it being the Thunderdome game. And because, you know, two men enter, one man leaves. But the way that went down with A&M just absolutely killing UCLA in the opening half, and then UCLA having that comeback, it played out to where, like, it didn't matter who won, the other guy was going to look horrible. It wasn't a well-played game like the West Virginia, Virginia Tech game where, you know, both coaches come out of there being like, all right, we got a good team, we're going to be okay. This was a deal where for every great, you know, positive you can hang your hat on, there was like that much of a negative. And so I think that even if A&M had held off the comeback, then Jim Mora's, I think, gone, and A&M's and Kevin Sumlin probably is. But yes, I think 6-2 to keep his job is that sounds right to me. And I also think that's the reason I think he's gone. There's no way that's happening because they're not going to beat Alabama, and they're going at Florida. I know they got at LSU looked good. Auburn, Mississippi State. I don't have confidence in that. And so I think at least 6-2 has to keep his job. Cause we already know 8-5 is not good enough.
Right. Right.
Regular season is not good enough.
No, you know? he's like 6-2 means 9-3.
Right.
After like the sting of that loss is in front of everybody too. Like that's you get embarrassed, somebody pulls a prank on you and trips you when you're just hanging out with like a couple of friends. You know, you're going to be able to let it go. But like if it's junior year in high school and someone trips you up at the homecoming pep rally, like you're not going to forgive him for the rest of the year. Like this was in front of everybody. This was so embarrassing, and we're not going to be able to forget it.
Hey, and you know what? Like it's funny too because I, as you know, Chip. So I picked UCLA, and I felt pretty good about that pick going in. And then that first half, and really, like truly, like it was the wrong read. Like I was wrong. A&M is better than I thought they were, honestly. And that first half, they were awesome. Like they're so good in the run game. Their defense is playing great. And so it was to me, it was like, wow, like he's turned it around. Like this team looks like they are really going to be a good football team. And I think two things happened. One, Nick Starkel got hurt. And I think if Nick Starkel is hurt beyond this week, then, I mean, they got a couple cupcakes coming up that they can, or I guess one, actually. No, they have two. They have Nicholls State and Louisiana Lafayette. So they should win next two no matter what. But if Nick Starkel's hurt beyond those two games, I don't see how they can win with Kellen Mond because there's just no passing threat. He was 3 of 17.
Yeah.
And he's a really talented runner, but they, you know, this is just going to be a wildcat offense if Nick Starkel's not in the game. And so, it's not like Nick Starkel was setting the world on fire, but he was at least giving the balance offensively. And so, you know, it was funny. Like, I was so wrong on A&M in the first half, but then ended up almost getting right just because of the collapse. But it was not only did that game put Kevin Sumlin's job in jeopardy, but like the aftermath of that game further puts him in peril because of the way Nick Starkel is going to be, a question mark moving forward.
All right. Real quick follow-up take. Both teams, judging on that game, should probably look into making a head coaching change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
UCLA did not
we didn't see two men enter. We thought it was two men enter, one man leaves. It might be two men enter, two men, or yeah, two men stay. I guess. They die in the Thunderdome together. Like that was I agreed. Like Jim Moore doesn't get any like credit for this one, I don't think.
No. What do you think about Rosen? Leading the comeback for when you are a potential top draft pick who has spent so much time out of the spotlight because of injury, but still so much time in the headlines because of your commentary. And you know, we even had a headline of one of our podcasts was appreciating Josh Rosen's honesty here. He is a character in college football in 2017. There was just a lot going on. It was, for someone who says he wants to like be a movie producer one day, it was pretty Hollywood. It was incredible.
It was. I mean, and the way he competed, the way he, you know, you could see like the passion that he had, and that's the stupid critique that some people have is like, does he not care about football? Well, that's nonsense. And he showed that. And the first half when they weren't moving the football, it wasn't because of Josh Rosen. It was because they couldn't protect him. So if they can just give him a little bit of time, he can pick people apart. That said, there were some like, this is going to look a lot better than it was because he should have had a ball intercepted that would have ended the game. There's a couple balls, frankly, that could have been intercepted that could have ended the game. I mean, A&M had so many opportunities to shut this thing down. So while I'll credit Josh Rosen, I think this gets a little bit of the NFL, you know, heading in the right direction again for him. Man, this could have easily gone the other way for him, and he could have been back to like, is he even a first round draft pick buzz, whether it's true or not. Like you could have heard that sort of talk come out of this thing. So it was I think well needed for him to get that done and get a little bit positive momentum.
All right. Cook me up a take.
Okay. All right. How about Kelly Bryant can win a national title at Clemson?
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah. I'm so signed up for the Kelly Bryant experience. What do you like about Kelly? Because when I was seeing, and again, Kent State, I will, and the good news is we get to see him play against Auburn this Saturday. So it's going to be, a huge test for him to be able to manage. And, he's not going to be outrunning a Kent State defense. He's going to be having to try to turn the corner against some of the best athletes in the country. And he's going to be having to make reads against a better defense. But, he looked like he was very, very comfortable at the wheel
of a brand spanking new performance car that was just driven right off the lot. I mean, he was hugging turns. He was hitting all of his targets. They were spreading the ball around. I mean, the dude's fast, you know? I mean, he's electric. I'm in, totally.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference. This Clemson team is going to have a little more QB run game, because even Deshaun Watson, as athletic as he was in extending plays, they weren't necessarily trying to make him a run threat. Like, they were just trying to allow him to use his athleticism to make plays when they arrived. I think Kelly Bryant, you're going to see more scheme for him to do that. So I think Kelly Bryant is, you know, I picked Clemson in the playoffs expecting Kelly Bryant to be playoff material. So this is sort of the one next step up. If I got to pick one side of it, I would go with, yes, he is national title material. Particularly considering, you know, Jalen Hurts and JT Barrett are potentially the other two guys that he could be battling for that national title, and they haven't proven necessarily that they're anything unstoppable. So, you know, relative to those guys, I think he is I think he's in there.
And, of course, the news breaking last night, DeAndre Francois likely out for the season after that patella injury. Florida State will be going to its own freshman quarterback. You picked Clemson right out of the gate, but to me, we can call this a take, but to me, Clemson as the ACC favorite, but that game against Florida State's in Death Valley, and yeah. Florida State has to play Miami in 2 weeks, and then NC State not long after that. I've got the Tigers as the ACC's most likely playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, it was always the defensive line that really got me on Clemson's train, and after week one, and I know it's Kent State, so you know I understand that, but. The skill that they had, the number of skill options that they had to work with, in addition to having a really experienced offensive line, there's just really good everywhere. Like, they don't really have any holes. And Kelly Bryant was the big question mark, and he did look solid. And this Clemson team, I think, is just so much better than people realize heading into the season. We're about to find out for sure this weekend how good they really are. But, you know, we'll talk about the Clemson-Auburn game later in the week, but just a little preview for my take on it. Like, I think this is a potential, you know, playoff, pre-playoff, like, play-in game, I guess. Like, ooh. I think Auburn's that good. I think Clemson's that good. But now I think Clemson could even lose that game and still make it in just by running the table and winning out. So this will be a really fascinating game this weekend.
Now, I said that Clemson is my pick. Now, I think that they should be considered the favorite to be the ACC's most likely representative. But I'm going to throw this one out there. I think that with the loss of DeAndre Francois, and I'm gonna throw this also at you with let's get Barton's take on James Blackmon. But with James Blackmon at quarterback, I think that this Florida State team is still going to be no worse than 9-3. Like, they might lose one more game, and maybe they'll lose. Like, maybe they lose to Clemson and Miami, or maybe they lose to Clemson, and then by the end of the season, they just have a slugfest with Florida. But what I saw from a Florida State defense that honestly looked like an old LSU defense with just like the size and the speed and the range, like, future NFL players all over the place. Like, I was so impressed by Florida State defensively and by their just handfuls of 6'5", 6'4", receivers. Like, I know that James Blackmon's got to be able to get them the ball, but with the talent everywhere else, I think that, you know, you might be a little handicapped or hamstrung at quarterback, but I mean, hell, so were those LSU teams that were still competing for, you know, maybe being in the SEC championship mix. I think that Florida State will be able to bounce back from this. I don't see the bottom falling out because of the DeAndre Francois injury.
I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I still only expect them to lose to Clemson. I didn't think I would look at the schedule and then come away thinking that, but here I am, and I'm looking at the schedule, and I still only think they're going to lose to Clemson. Because that defense was that good, and I think that they're going to get better in the run game. I think Cam Akers was the best running back in that game.
Akers was ready. Oh, my gosh. He's ready for it.
In terms of just what he flashed when he touched the football, it was a different level of juice than I saw out of anyone on Florida State's team and really anyone on Alabama's side. I thought Cam Akers, when he touched the football, was like there was something special there. And so he's going to get better. I think James Blackman, they're going to really dial in and focus their efforts. Jimbo Fisher is going to have a good game plan, and I think that they're going to be okay. I think now, here's my thing with James Blackman. He is really talented. I think he's a future NFL quarterback. He was a 4-star in 24/7 Sports, was a 3-star for most people. We liked him more than most, but he is rail thin. He's a little bit raw. He played in a pretty simple offense. Like he just wasn't a guy that I would have expected to be ready from day one. Like I'm a little bit surprised he's even starting over JJ Cosentino, just because go with the experienced guy. But the fact that he is starting or is expected to be the starter means to me that maybe he's further along than we expected. Either way, this isn't ideal. But when is it ever ideal to have a true freshman quarterback starting? I think that this is a guy that's going to be a really good quarterback in the long run, but this is just going to be a survival year.
Do you think that it's one of those situations where Jimbo Fisher knows that, like, I could see this being the calculus from a head coach's standpoint. My team is too good everywhere else to have a player who's limited. I'd rather take someone who is raw and inexperienced with a higher ceiling and then just understand that there are going to be some moments where that's going to end up getting us. Like he must look at Cosentino as a player that makes other defensive coordinators be like, oh, okay, we've got this. You know what I'm saying? Like he must just think that there's nothing intimidating about game planning for Cosentino, where Blackman, someone who can be better, somebody who is going to possess or present more potential options, I guess. I don't know. He is like, no, we're not going to give up. We're not going to hamstring ourselves. We're just going to let the young, talented guy, we're going to throw him into the fire.
Well, it's also smart. I mean, if they're close, go with the younger guy. He's your future. And let him learn. Because especially when you know your defense is good enough to win you some games anyways. I like the move. All right. I got a double take here.
Nice.
A two-parter. One, Sam Darnold is overrated.
Yes.
Two, USC ain't playoff material. All right. Take that one where you want.
Oh, so spicy. I love it. I mean, that is the hot, because it's a hot take. It's a hot take because USC came out hot and sloppy. You know, they came off of Coachella. You know, they were still wearing all their man rompers, and they were loving the vibes. They were still in festival season. They weren't quite ready for a Western Michigan team that was coming down from Kalamazoo to hit them in the mouth with the row the boat oar. I don't think that they were ready for that. I just think they. No. I think that we're going to see a more physical team from USC. And I think that as long as Ronald Jones is healthy, and boy, man, if Ronald Jones gets banged up, I'm gonna be very sad because he's one of my favorite running backs.
He was awesome.
Yeah, dude.
He is so good.
I love that guy so much. And even if Sam Darnold is overrated, how about that? That is right for right now because, you know, he got hot last year. Now he's got to prove it. You know, he threw at least two touchdowns in each of those nine wins on the Trojans' hot streak. And he might still be, you know, top NFL draft, whatever. But if we're talking about rating college quarterbacks for what they are doing in 2017, I'm with you on overrated. But I think the Trojans can and will respond in terms of being a playoff potential team.
Okay, all right. So let me respond. Sam Darnold is overrated. I say too hot. I have to say my own take is too hot. I watched the game. I didn't watch it in real time, but I went back and I watched it, and I expected to see a really bad performance by Sam Darnold, and it just wasn't. He did have a. I mean, he had two interceptions. One of the interceptions was a bad throw by him. The other interception was on a deep ball where the Western Michigan corner just made a phenomenal play. He was 23 of 33. He probably had three drops, so he probably should have been 26 of 33. He, you know, I thought Sam Darnold still looked like the Sam Darnold I expected him to. And so I don't, you know, I picked Mason Rudolph to win the Heisman, but I think if you can't, to me, this performance doesn't solely Sam Darnold in my eyes. So I'm going too hot on that one. On USC playoff material, I believe that. I don't think USC is going to make the playoffs. And I've already said that, and I think this game makes me more confident in that. Western Michigan, now, I know USC might have been sleepwalking a little bit. I know they may have overlooked them against Stanford next week. But Western Michigan, this was not a game where they had a bunch of pick sixes and USC was just fumbling snaps or whatever. I mean, Western Michigan just straight up ran the rock on them.
I know. They were getting push. They were like, they were setting the edge. They were opening up holes. They had multiple backs cycling in there. What was it 263 yards rushing or something like that?
And Western Michigan's quarterback cannot throw either. Like, there is no threat in the pass game.
There's no Corey Davis out here. There's no Zach Terrell here.
No,
this is different.
No. All you got to do is stop the run, and they couldn't stop it. And I know, I mean, and credit Western Michigan, man, they executed really well, and that offensive line was awesome. What a great offensive line they got at Western Michigan. They're going to win some games in the MAC again. And also, just quick side note, like the reason I picked them to cover the 27.5 points is because I knew Western Michigan wasn't going to be bad without P.J. Fleck, because P.J. Fleck was recruiting really well. They had like three straight number one recruiting classes in the MAC, and were bringing in like regularly three-star level players, which is unique for Western Michigan, who's usually like two-star galore anywhere in MAC is. So that's an aside. But anyways.
That's what you get from Barton Simmons. No one else tells you who's first in the MAC.
The most talented team in the MAC. Of course they're going to cover 27. So, yes. So I still think – I think Stanford's going to beat USC this weekend. I think their defense has got a lot to prove. They were not as physical as I would have expected. I'll say this. They were a lot better when Cameron Smith was on the field in the second half. Mm. He wasn't there in the first half with a – targeting penalty suspension, but this was, I was disappointed in the linebacker play. I don't think John Houston he's got his hands full against Stanford, and so are all those guys. So I'm a little down on USC right now, but I'm higher on Sam Darnold than I think others. So that's where I'm at.
All right, this is another one that I want to get your take on. I want to find out what your response is to this take, and then I'll reveal my own rating on it. Ready?
Yeah.
In the long run, if Jacob Eason is hurt, Georgia will benefit from having Jake Fromm at quarterback in 2017.
I say so. I'm gonna go a little inside baseball on this, but I'm gonna say that is. Too hot.
Too hot.
Too hot.
Too hot.
But here's why. Because the best quarterback that could potentially be on that roster is Justin Fields, who's the senior in high school.
Yeah. that's not inside baseball. We've mentioned Justin Fields on this show like four times in our couple month existence.
Regular listeners should know well who Justin Fields is. Yeah. But Justin Fields, the number one player in America right now, he's keeping an eye on what's going on the field. And I think the perfect scenario for Georgia is Jacob Eason has a outstanding year, and it becomes clear that Jacob Eason is a three and out guy. Then I think Georgia gets Justin Fields. Justin Fields redshirts his first year, and then, you know, we'll see who wins the job between Justin Fields and Jake Fromm. But Justin Fields doesn't seem to be worried about Jake Fromm, whether he should be or not. He doesn't seem to be. So to me, the best scenario for Georgia is getting Justin Fields on the roster. Now, if Jake Fromm has a good year and is suddenly like it muddies the water as far as, is Jacob Eason going to stick around? Are they going to battle for a job next year? Is Jake Fromm good enough to hold off Justin Fields to where he then play until his redshirt sophomore season? You know, all those sort of factors to me are in play. And I also think it's just, to me, this is Jake Fromm has the type of mental makeup to where whenever it's time for him to go, he'll be ready mentally. But Jake Fromm, I think, needs this year to become the guy because Georgia needs a quarterback. They don't need to be breaking someone else in again this year. And have using kid gloves on them when they're trying to win the SEC East. So I'm saying no to that take. Where are you at?
I thought that there was, like, I felt like in camp maybe you and a few other people were starting to whisper that, like, I needed to keep an eye on Fromm.
Tim Tebow gave us a little bit. I've heard they like that Jake Fromm guy.
Yeah.
Or the backup. I don't even know if he knew his name, but he knew they liked the backup.
Yeah. And so I was curious to see him get out there. In general, I came away from Georgia's performance against Appalachian State. I'm not rushing to the table to cash in my ticket. Just because, you know, I put them first in the SEC East. It's a long season, and there's a lot of spots where Georgia could find themselves in a difficult position, including having to go to Jordan-Hare Stadium in November. I think that you've got a I don't know. That was again. I picked Appalachian State. I mean, I'm down in our competition. I'm at -1 net wins, whiffing on West Virginia and whiffing on Appalachian State, only cashing in my Cal ticket. So I'm down -2, and I kind of think that the way that Georgia handled its business, even after losing Eason early in that game, was pretty impressive. I don't know. I'm excited to see more and sort of see what happens at the quarterback position to see if they're going to be able to hang with, like, for example, Georgia. If it gets into a shootout game with South Carolina, you think that they've got the offense to be able to hang?
They should. Georgia's such a fascinating team,
right?
They just they have such good running backs. They're so talented, really, on both sides of the ball at this point. But their quarterback play is still. Who you had total confidence in on Saturday was Jake Bentley. Like, you don't have that sense with Georgia yet. Like, you felt like Jake Bentley was going to make the big plays.
That guy is so swaggy.
You know, when they needed one, he was going to get it done.
Yeah.
And with Georgia, I think you're in the, like, I hope you're hopeful. You're not confident. You're hopeful. And so it's I think that sort of filters down to the rest of the, or trickles down to the rest of the roster and the rest of the expectations for the team. So, yeah, I just think the quarterback situation there, as well as just sort of how they're And I actually want to – I have not had a chance to watch a ton of that Georgia App State game. I want to watch it just because I'm curious how that offensive line looked, because they, you know, they seemed to control the game from, you know, from afar. It seemed like they did, but they also didn't put up any freaky numbers. And I know App State's a good team, so I'm interested. I'm very interested in Georgia. I still think they're the East favorite, but man, things got complicated.
Yeah, they just kind of leaned. I mean, they just had an advantage, you know, like App State looked a little small on that field.
Yeah.
They just, I mean, it was like these are University of Georgia offensive linemen. Like sometimes it's not football, it's physics. That's kind of the way it felt,
right.
As you know, Georgia was out there just being like, oh, here's Chubb. Oh, here's Michelle. Oh, here comes Harrion. Oh, here comes Swift. Like just throwing backs at him. It was pretty impressive. Before your next take, if you want to get into the biggest college football game, and if you want to be able to come out from seeing it in person, and you want to be able to get at Barton Simmons or at Chip_Patterson on Twitter and be like, hey, your takes, they are too hot. They are off. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. A great way that you can get into the stadium is with SeatGeek. See, I got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's one of the best ways to shop for tickets. They go to find multiple different ticket sites, and they give each ticket a grade to help you identify the value and find the best seats to fit your budget. SeatGeek saves you time and money, and every purchase is fully guaranteed so that you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy to theater. It's not just college football. They'll take you anywhere you want to go. And the great news for you, a 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast listener, is that you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do is download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code SEC today. That's promo code SEC for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, get in the game. That's just my tagline. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, that was beautiful. Well said.
All right, what's your next take?
All right, I've got a couple others. Okay, how about this? Michigan is national title caliber.
Oh yeah, totally, 100%. I'm in. I mean, I've signed up. I've got my ticket to ride. And I was a Michigan. You know what? All right, remember last season when Michigan's defense like shut out their first seven opponents? Like didn't allow a touchdown until mid-October or something.
Yeah.
Like I was one of those that was standing on the sidelines like, well, I mean, let's look at the offenses. You know, I was pumping the brakes big time on the Michigan hype train. Yeah, I'm not. I'm in. I'm all the way in on this team. I love the vibe of you know, talented recruits and recruiting classes that came in with this staff. They worked under the holdover upperclassmen, a group that was really, really good. You know, a program that's won 10 games in back-to-back seasons. We were talking about you know, next year might be Michigan's year, like 2018. That's going to be the national title run. Well, Ohio State won the title a year before they were supposed to have their national title run. I'm having those Ohio State 2014 feelings about these Wolverines, and I don't know if it'll happen, man. Big Ten East is going to be tough, and if they don't, you know, if a couple things don't go right, they will find themselves like in another New Year's Six Bowl instead of the playoff. But I don't see them. I don't see them winning less than 10 games. I think that they are absolutely a national title contender.
Too hot.
Oh no! I'm in. I'm all the way in. I am not dissuaded. I did not get tricked. I am still on Michigan.
Here's what I agree. There, like, I guess this part of this is about like, how do you define contender? Like, yeah, I think it's fair to call them a contender, But I do not think Michigan will win a national title. I don't think that they can win a national title with Wilton Spade at quarterback.
Mm.
I think they are. I think that that's the missing piece for them to win a national title. And I think when you look at the other teams we talked about, like Jalen Hurts isn't perfect. JT Barrett is not perfect. Kelly Bryant is not perfect. But those guys are good enough, and you can win a national title with those guys. You can win a national title with Trace McSorley. You can win a national title with Sam Darnold. Like, if you look at the other teams that are legitimate, in my eyes, national title contenders, they have quarterbacks you can win with. And you can win 10 games with Wilton Spade. You can maybe win 11 games with Wilton Spade. But when it gets down to those playoff games and the national title games, I just have no confidence in him. And he's just, he's going to make a play every once in a while. He'll make a nice throw here and there. But when I watch him throw, it's another one of those, it's sort of like I was talking about with Jake Bentley. Like, I'm holding my breath when he goes back.
When he
drops back, like, I'm holding my breath.
Yeah.
Like, where's this ball going to go? Like, okay, big play. All right. I just don't have confidence that Wilton Spade is good enough for the Michigan team that I think is national title worthy everywhere else on the football field and on the football team. And the one, the one caveat I'll make is that coaching staff could be good enough to overcome that. I mean, I think that is the best coaching staff, top to bottom, position coaches everywhere in college football. Those guys are just so good. Between Don Brown, Pep Hamilton, their offensive line coaches. I mean, they have like two offensive line coaches that would be one of the among the best anywhere, and Tim Drevno and Coach Fry. So that's, I can't get on board with Wilton Spade yet.
All right. Well, so let me present a reality. Michigan dream season, Big Ten championship. Draws Alabama in the semifinals, loses 17-0.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely. Like that, yeah. I could see them getting to the playoffs. But when they run up against Alabama, or when they run up against Clemson or whoever else, like, there's going to be a reveal. Like, there's gonna be a, like, all right, this here's the wake up call, man. You guys gotta It's time to get Brandon Peters ready for next year, because this guy ain't cutting it.
Alabama and Clemson have done that to some teams in the playoff era. Because, like, Clemson did it to Oklahoma. Clemson did it to Ohio State. Alabama did it to Washington. Alabama did it to Michigan State. Where, like, that playoff contender gets in there and, oh, no!
Yeah. 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 And all right, so I want to pivot this. I know this is my second take in a row, but I just thought of this. Like, this wasn't one that I had coming into the show, but I just sort of thought of this, and it's relevant to what we're talking about now. Okay. Alabama's two injuries over the weekend is going to be enough how do I phrase this? Like, Alabama's offensive outside linebacker injuries are going to keep them from winning a national title.
Ooh.
Because that's – so to just – so in case people missed it here, Alabama's Christian Miller, mm-hmm, and Terrell – is it Smith now? He changed his last name. Now he used to be a different – so it's Terrell Smith, I think, is the other outside linebacker, are out for the season. And that – is what makes Alabama so good, is that they've got those big outside linebackers, those big edge defenders. You can't run on them. And not only do they have those two, but they got the guys behind them. And I know now the guys behind them step up and they shouldn't be a huge drop off. But when you start wiggling that defense around and you start playing some musical chairs, and now all of a sudden you've got a couple of guys maybe in that Alabama defense that aren't really ready to play this year. And they may not be an outside linebacker, but maybe they're an inside linebacker because Rashawn Evans or somebody has to move to the outside. And now all of a sudden Alabama's defense has some vulnerabilities. And that's what Alabama never has on defense. That's why they're so good, is that they're that defensive line is so good, that front seven's so good, but then, you know, when they pressure the quarterback and they throw it up, well, then that back end's so good that they turn the interception into a touchdown. Or, you know, their back end is so good that the quarterback has to hold the football, and then their front guys are so good that when you hold it a split second long, you're going to get sacked. So, like, there's the comprehensive skill and beef of that Alabama defense is what makes them great. And I wonder if you lose two of your better front seven defenders, I just wonder, I'm thinking out loud, if that is going to sort of change the chemistry of this entire unit.
There was a play where it's in Terrell Lewis.
Terrell Lewis.
There was a play on special teams. The special teams, you know, like we already sort of discussed this, one of the places where that game changed absolutely in the Florida State opener. You know, the fact you get like Minkah Fitzpatrick, Damian Harris, like we've gone through that, but there was a little paw in there, a freshman's paw that they got in there to poke the ball out, and it was Dylan Moses's.
Yeah,
if Dylan Moses is ready. Because I mean, you tell me, you're not far from digging in and rating and ranking Dylan Moses, but I've got no reason to think that he should be anything else other than the future, other than like in line to take Rashawn Evans's place. And if he's ready to get elevated to that that starting linebacker, or even like main contributor position, because Rashawn Evans and Shaundion Hamilton are stars, like superstars.
Yeah.
And if Dylan Moses is ready, and if he can come in and hold his own as a part of that, like you said, like one of the things from what I've been able to tell is it's not just being good. Like at Alabama, if you're going to get in there and be a part of the defense, it's about knowing your role and executing. Like you cannot be making mistakes. And I am not talking to Dylan Moses. I don't know if he is feeling comfortable enough to take all of that talent and athleticism and put it together at a high speed in the college game in Alabama's system. But boy, I think that's a place where they could sustain a loss if Moses is ready.
Yeah, and he is one of the more college ready guys you're going to find as far as coming out of high school and being ready to roll. He is, he's physically ready. He is mentally prepared. He is an early enrollee. So Dylan Moses should be able to come in and be pretty good, I would think. But I think I'm probably on a too hot take in terms of my stance on this one. Like, I think that probably Alabama is going to be just fine.
I don't think you have to say just fine, but like in the course of a college football season, everyone's going to suffer some attrition, and Alabama's no different. Doesn't Alabama always have like two or three defensive starters that are on crutches in the national championship game?
Yeah.
I mean, it is awful to lose them here at the beginning, but I don't think it's going to stop them from winning the SEC and making the playoff.
They held Florida State to, what, I think 250 yards of offense, and 90 of them came on that one scoring drive. But the one thing that I really like, the takeaway for me on that was on that one scoring drive that Florida State had, they had to make absolutely perfect throws and catches.
Oh, incredible catches.
You know, I mean, just the defensive back, like they were beating defensive backs by like a hair. And DeAndre Francois was making a perfect throw, and the wide receiver was making otherworldly catches with a defensive back hanging all over him. And that's how they're able to move the football. So if there's going to be that margin for error in the defensive, in the Alabama secondary, I think they'll be able to compensate with whatever they have to put up there up front. Alabama's so good. I'm not going to doubt them. I wanted to discuss it, but as the more I talk about it, the more I'm still like, you're gonna have to prove me wrong to before I start doubting Alabama.
All right. I think that Florida, we were talking about what if there were trades in college football. Our very controversial segment, what if there were trades in college football. I think Florida would take Will Grier for Antonio Callaway and Jordan Scarlett straight up right now.
They take Will Grier for like a whole position unit.
Jabari Zuniga. Take our best of pass rush. Just give us, like, Will Grier looked good.
Yeah, he looked good.
Oh.
He is good. I knew he'd be good. West Virginia is they're going to be a problem for the rest of the Big 12. That Big 12, it was a good day and a bad day for the Big 12. Baylor lost to Liberty. Texas lost to Maryland. But Oklahoma State, Oklahoma looked great. And West Virginia lost to Virginia Tech. But they're going to be good this year. They're going to be just fine because Will Grier is the real deal.
I think that you've got West Virginia is the third best team in the Big 12.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Oh man,
I'm on board with that. Who else? I'm trying to think. Oklahoma State, are the other contenders?
Kansas State. It's not Texas. It's for damn
sure. Not Texas, and it's not Baylor, who like I thought could have been a sneaky good team.
TCU.
Yeah, TCU. That's the other one. It's West Virginia or TCU. And we're going to find out a lot more about TCU this weekend. They play Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to find out about TCU this weekend. But yeah, I think right now, in a loss, West Virginia came out of that thing looking, you know, really, in my opinion, helping themselves. And I'd feel pretty good about where we're at right now if I'm a West Virginia fan.
What else? What else stood out from that West Virginia Virginia Tech game? I want to make sure we get it in before we get out of here.
Right. How about this? Virginia Tech's going to win the Coastal.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, I saw all I needed to see out of Josh Jackson.
Good.
And Virginia Tech is, they are, and how about Justin Fuente? Like, that guy is a star.
Yeah.
I mean, Virginia Tech is in great shape moving forward because they got a great coach. They've got a talented defense. They've got a quarterback who's a redshirt freshman who it looks like he's going to be a guy for them. They got a true freshman quarterback that's going to redshirt this year, I'm sure, that was competing for that job. Like, they've got a talented quarterback room, a talented roster, and a star head coach. I feel really good about Virginia Tech winning the Coastal right now.
And, like, again, like part of me going all on board with that is this is a Virginia Tech Clemson year. So you think that Virginia Tech,
but they're going to beat, to me, they're going to beat, I mean, Virginia Tech's going to beat Miami. Miami's going to lose to Florida State. So what's, you know, they'll be, you're saying Virginia Tech plays Clemson the regular season, you're saying?
Yeah, but it's also at home. Oh man, ACC might get left out of the playoff.
They might.
Is that too high?
You think Virginia? Now you're so high. You're so on the Virginia Tech bandwagon that you now think that they might be Clemson.
I am so on the Virginia Tech bandwagon that I can foresee a possibility where they upset Clemson at Lane Stadium, inner Sandman going nuts.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's gonna be a crazy atmosphere.
I think that Florida State, Clemson, Miami, Virginia Tech, everybody's got to play everybody.
Yeah, I'm still gonna ride with Clemson, but I mean, you got a point. Like, it's gonna get tricky in the ACC this year. Good news is Louisville doesn't look like they're as much of a threat.
Oh my God.
As people maybe thought.
Hot take: nothing has been fixed at Louisville.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to throw this at you though before we wrap, but if you could reset your college football playoff picks right now after watching 1 week of football, would you? And if so, what would they be? Because I would change mine.
The playoff picks?
Yeah, your four you picked preseason.
Hmm.
Who were your four?
My four were I had Florida State, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Ohio State.
All right. So the only one, I guess, really, I don't know. I mean, Ohio State didn't exactly look. So go ahead. You just answer. I mean, I'll back off. What would you change him, or would you just keep on riding with it?
Oh no, I'd change it, I think.
And what would be the change?
I would drop Florida State, and I would either replace it with Clemson or USC, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not ready to bail on Ohio State. I think that's like a little bit too easy to do. And just in terms of knee-jerk reactions, and certainly even bailing on Florida State is tough, but I'm just like haunted by when we had Brendan Sinone, 24/7 Sports, on here, and he was talking about this razor thin margin for error that Florida State had if it was going to be able to make it to the playoff and win a national championship. And it's like, oh, you've got a thin margin for error, okay, well, your starting quarterback's gone. Like, I think that you got to take them out. I'm tempted to back off Oklahoma, but I went so hard on Oklahoma in my preseason.
Can't back off Oklahoma after they completed collectively 30 of 32 passes, and were.
I love that Kyler Murray started the second half.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna stick with Oklahoma, and I'm gonna stick with Alabama, stick with Ohio State, and probably swap out Florida State for Clemson or put USC back in there. But I'm still waiting to see how the Trojans look against Stanford, and if those linebackers and defensive line are going to be ready for what's coming at them hard and fast on Saturday.
All right, so my playoff four preseason was Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington. Same four as last year. And I would change mine. I would Alabama and Clemson. I would still ride with, but I would swap Stanford for Washington after 1 week. And this isn't an overreaction to Washington not blowing out Rutgers. I was reminded of how maddening Jake Browning is for me as a football fan. Like watching him, his lack of arm strength, his like,
yeah, you talk about just holding your breath when someone lets the ball go.
He's just an okay quarterback, and Washington does a great job of putting him in position to be successful, and Washington is going to be really good. And this is not a total bail. I still feel like I got a shot at hitting on that one, because I still think that they're going to be good. I mean, that secondary reloaded. They've got a lot of skill guys that can make plays, though they don't have John Ross. Austin Pettis is back. But, I mean, Washington could make it. But I feel more confident in Stanford, especially after seeing USC and thinking Stanford's going to beat them this weekend. Mm-hmm. And thinking that that's, another loss avoided by Stanford, and then they get Washington home late in the year. So I would replace Washington with Stanford. Replace my Pac-12 North battle guys. And the one that's really tough for me is I would be very tempted if I were to repick today to replace Ohio State with Penn State.
Oh man. Yeah. Saquon Barkley is my new Heisman favorite.
I mean, Ohio State, I'm worried that they looked so similar to last year offensively. Like, all those problems that they had with JT Barrett at quarterback limiting them in the downfield passing game, they were there. They were all still there. And that's a big reason why that they couldn't score late in the year. It's because JT Barrett is just not a quarterback that gives you a lot of options downfield. Now, he's got a lot of skill guys around him, and I know they blew up in the second half against Indiana. But it was by throwing drag passes and letting those guys run 70 yards. And I expected them to be better in week one than they were on that side of the game. And when I look at Penn State, they've got to me, Trace McSorley is a better college quarterback than JT Barrett. They've got a big-time playmaker in Saquon Barkley. They're going to have the big receivers that can test those Ohio State DBs like Indiana's did. This one is not – I'm not, like, totally decided on this, but I would have a very long, hard conversation with myself, a long look in the mirror to figure out whether Penn State needed to be in there instead of Ohio State if I were to recalibrate today. As it is, I'm still okay. I think I got a shot with the four I picked, but it would be – I thought it was interesting in week one, how quickly opinions can change based on finally – getting something beyond just sort of like scuttlebutt to go off of.
I feel like Penn State's scheduling department had a phone call on Thursday night and the caller ID read Joe Moorhead. And the first thing he said was, yo, let's play them next week. I don't care what you have to do. I know exactly. Like, Joe Moorhead was looked at what Indiana was doing and he's like, oh my gosh, we can do this. We can go beat them again. Let's go. Like, give me a shot with our wide receivers and with Saquon Barkley, Penn State's
well,
ready.
I mean, Penn State's got the big receivers that Indiana has, and they also have a more mobile quarterback that can feel that Ohio State rush a little bit better, maybe extend a couple plays with his legs. So not to jump the gun and start breaking down Penn State, Ohio State like 7 weeks ahead of time, but that's going to be a fun game.
That's going to be a very fun game. All right, we've got a fun week for you. We've got a view from Vegas. Sportsline's Micah Roberts will be joining us on Wednesday's show. Tom Fornelli back for the picks. We will be judged. We've got one more. So I am at -2. Tom is +3. Looks like I'm in last place. And let's see, you got +2.
I'm at .500, I think, right? Two and two right now.
Yeah, you're
gotta win tonight to get in the red or the black rather.
You got GT +3. We'll of course be talking about that at the end of the week. Make sure that you subscribe to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. Subscribers get them first. Follow Barton at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Barton, great weekend. One more game. Thank you so much.
Feels good, man.